It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland.
I had an awesome dream.
There's only like 2 years in American history when that would have ended up in a song, and this is one of them. This is 86, I think. Dark, Park, Mark.
And what they played was a masquerade.
This really is like the least interesting rhyme structure on planet Earth.
What does say you, say me mean?
I don't even know. I don't even think Lionel Richie knows what it means. It really is just a whole lot of moon, June, spoon with this guy.
Say you, say me. Say for always.
Okay, for bonus points, though, Sarah, can you tell me what film this is from?
No, I cannot.
Say You, Say Me. It is also it's the same film that gave us Separate Lives with Phil Collins and Marilyn blah, blah, blah.
Is that White Nights?
White Nights, there you go.
White Nights.
I've never
even heard of that.
No, with Mikhail Baryshnikov and Gregory Hines.
The guy that escaped the communists?
Yeah.
Danced around?
That was, you know, Mikhail... Left lonely, how we... This is one step above being a Trey Parker song, by the way. I'm all being distracted by Lionel Richie.
That helping hand.
Someone who understands. No, there was this period in American history when if you were from Russia, like if you were from the Soviet Union, if you defected, you could get work doing anything. Didn't matter. You know, if you were like, you were Yakov Smirnov, you were Mikhail Baryshnikov, you were anybody. If you'd ever lived in the USSR and you'd managed to escape to Florida, you know, or New York or whatever, no matter that alone guaranteed you employment in Ronald Reagan's America. Now, I don't even know. Is Mikhail Baryshnikov even alive?
Who?
Mikhail Baryshnikov.
No.
The guy in this film.
No, he's dead, I think.
Oh. Well, sorry.
I think you should be saying something empowering.
But, you know, there are Russians all over the place now anyway.
Russians are a dime. Wait, hold on. The rockin' part.
Oh no!
There are Russians building houses in my neighborhoods. I had a Romanian cable guy the other day.
You know, it's filled with Russians.
To the Russians.
Vancouver's filled with Russians. Vancouver's lousy with Russians. And then he brings it back down here.
You are a shining star.
All right, I'll say it. I like this song.
I love this song.
I'll be the first to say it right now.
This is about the same time as Simply Red came out.
I am enthralled to this song. You know, if you tuned on like Kimmel and you saw Newfound Glory or somebody singing this, you don't think it was great.
See you.
It's only a matter of time till you turn on the American Idol and Bucky Covington or somebody singing this. You see some...
One of the contestants, they're trying to give sex appeal.
Totally. You'll see some idiot blonde girl from Georgia belting this out. Everybody will think it's genius. I'm surprised they haven't done a Lionel Richie week on there. You talk about a guy who's written more songs. You don't even know how many Lionel Richie songs you know until you hear them all back to back. It's like with Manilow, say, or Neil Diamond. Something. You have no idea how many fantastically well-known Lionel Richie songs are. The point of it is White Nights. Once the Reagan era came to an end, it's like none of those guys were able to get work anymore. I don't know where the hell, I guess Mikhail Baryshnikov's dead. Gregory Hines, who was his tap dancing partner in that film, that guy went away. White Nights was this story. They all followed the same plot line. There was White Nights. There was Moscow on the Hudson. There was Red Heat with Jim Belushi and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it was always like uptight American... All of these Russian films that took place, these American-Russian comedies or buddy films that took place in the 80s, they were all like the white cop, black cop buddy film. Except it was all uptight American and then like repressed Soviet who makes him understand exactly how lucky he is to live in the land of milk and honey. That's all it was. And it always had the speech of the end where they're like standing in Central Park arguing about something. You do not understand how lucky you have in America. In Russia, I have nothing. In America, you have everything and you do not appreciate. And that was it. That every movie had that speech.
We stand in line to look at one bird.
we all share one square of toilet paper. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733. 2970, all of our bumper music today coming off of vinyl that I found laying around in my basement. Coming up later on, Kurt Lloyd's going to be from Super Atomic TV. We'll take this geek test as well. We've got the best sexual harassment story ever. It really is a sexual harassment story worthy of the CBS radio sales department, by the way. And when you read it, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Should I be taking...
I don't know.
I suppose so. It's a talk show.
Let's find out. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick, it's Jim. How you doing, man?
Hi, Jim. How can I help you, brother?
Well, listen, I had a thought, and I thought you might have a little bit of insight into this, or just, you know, how you're feeling about this.
Okay.
I read yesterday that David Lee Roth lost his job.
Who?
David Lee Roth. Now, the reason I'm calling, Rick, is because I know you love metal, and David Lee Roth was the front man of a great metal band back in the 70s and 80s.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, now he's taken over, or had taken over, Howard Stern's gig in New York.
Yeah, who could have seen this coming?
He's lost his job. He's been booted out of it.
Yeah, we're all shocked.
Yeah, I don't know. I never heard any of his show, but he seems like kind of an interesting guy. He would have been a fun guy to have a beer with.
Well, here's the thing. It's funny that nobody... I guess it's not funny because I guess not enough people were aware he even had a radio program to make any difference. I would say that, look, I am, as anybody who saw Bigger Than Jesus knows, I am second to no one in my love of Diamond Dave. I am a huge, I'm a David Lee Roth fan. I celebrate the guy's entire catalog, and I mean that sincerely. Big Van Halen fan.
Me too.
Skyscraper, Just Like Paradise, Crazy from the Heat, Little Ain't Enough. I'm a big David Lee Roth fan. And he's a funny guy. He's an interesting guy. Got a lot to say. But you know what? Here's the thing. And this is why other programs, Al Franken, are terrible disasters as well. Because, look, as I always say, just because you can sculpt doesn't mean you can dance. Just because you can paint doesn't mean you can write. And just because you can sing doesn't mean that you can host a radio program.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a whole lot of skill. It takes very little skill, but it does take a specialized kind of skill.
It's the only thing you can really do.
It really is. That's kind of the thing. The people who are good on the radio, and let's leave me out of this for a minute, just take a Clyde Lewis, take a Howard Stern, take a, you know, whoever. The guys who are really good on the radio, that's all they're good at. That's their only skill. Yeah. It's the only thing they're really able to do. That's certainly true with me, and I'm not even
trying to get a temp job.
I'm not even really able to do this well. I've never been able to hold down. I have been fired from every non-radio job I have ever had in my life. And I don't say that with pride. It's just sort of the fact. I've been fired from every job I've ever had that wasn't radio because radio is a very specialized skill set. And David Lee Roth, for all of his abilities in other arenas, morning New York radio is not the place to be learning what you're doing. It is not the place for on-the-job training.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, he was thrown into that fire after having most recently been an EMT in the city. So
he was a paramedic,
I mean, now, what would it be like to, you know, to have coronary thrombosis on the corner of 52nd and Lex, and look up and have David Lee Roth taking care of you?
And here the thing about radio is, as opposed to like if you're a paramedic, if you're David Lee Roth and you're a paramedic and you flame out, at least no one is there to see you. If you have a big rolling, tumbling disaster of a radio program, as the last 2 hours will attest, it's sort of like a plane crash, but without the being killed part. So everybody just gets to sort of see the disaster as it happens. Kind of what happened to David Lee Roth. So God love him. I don't hold David Lee Roth responsible for any of that as such. I'm sure he was doing the best he could.
He's probably philosophical about it as well.
That guy is gonna get paid every dollar that he would have gotten paid if he'd stayed on the job for 3 years.
Yeah.
They're gonna pay that guy his whole contract, and I'll tell you that, really the fault lies with whoever said to themselves, some guy sat at a table and said, look, here's this guy, he's never done a radio program, he has no radio skills or experience, he's never done anything to demonstrate that he could host a radio show, let's give him mornings in the single biggest market in history, filling in for the most successful radio broadcaster of all time. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. Hey, I read a statistic recently that you'll find interesting, and that is, due to iPod...
Are you now my co-host? Because it seems like you've been on for like an hour.
No, I just wanted to throw this one more statistic out there.
Okay.
I read a statistic that due to iPods and various other delivery systems now, men... 18 to 24 year olds, only 8% of them claim they ever listened to the radio.
I don't know. I don't think that's. Here's the thing. Somebody was talking to me about this the other day. I think it was Mark Baumgarten, actually, from the Willamette Week, who kind of looks a lot like an emaciated Nick Lachey, but no one ever sees that but me. Here's the thing. Is that. This is not corporate spin, although for those of you listening from CBS Radio, if you'd like to think that it is corporate spin, and that I'm gifted in such things, and if you'd like that to pass that along to any department heads or senior management, feel free to do so. My response, which I think is truthful, is this, is that this is a really good time to be on what we are now, legally obligated to call terrestrial radio, and which I hate. It's a term that I hate. I despise it with everything in me. But
well, you know, this HD radio thing
Hold on. Let me just answer the question. So here's the thing, because I get asked this a lot. This is a really good time to be on terrestrial, you know, regular radio, and I'll tell you why. Because you're trying to get some guy to drop $2.99 for a receiver, and then, like, you're getting him to drop another, like, $12 a month to pay for something that people have been acclimated to getting for free for 100 years. People have been getting radio for free for 100 years, and now you're trying to get him to pay, Jesus, it's like $500 a year. It's like half a grand a year for that.
Yeah.
Not only that, but because of Napster, Kazaa, MP3, BitTorrent, file sharing, all of that, people have become so opposed to the idea of having to pay for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the American mindset now is very much skewed towards, I'm not going to pay anything for my entertainment. I want it for free. Give it to me. If it costs a single dollar, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are set to capitalize on that. This,
mm-hmm.
if you have further questions about radio, I urge you to do them in a separate segment tomorrow.
Thank you, Rick.
I'm
quickly becoming a fan of the show. Sarah, you look great today.
What, becoming a fan of the show? What do you mean?
No, I just
one is either a fan of the show or one is not, my friend. What's taking you so
long? I am. I went to the party last week. I was a listener just kind of off and on back in the other era.
Yes.
And now I luckily get to get out of my office between noon and 1:30, and you're on my dial all the time.
So you have become a devoted, you are now what in radio they would call a P1. You are a devoted listener.
Yes,
well, thank you, sir. Are you spreading the word?
I am spreading the word, and I love it that you're an old guy that loves great metal.
You're old.
All right, that's the end of that. Thank you, sir.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. They're doing really well up to the end there, and then it all kind of went kaplooey.
Oh, he didn't mean it badly.
He didn't mean old as an old.
By the way, you're listening to KCMD AM Portland, CBS radio station, Johnson 970. Record for the show, 5:30. Did we get 503-733-2970. Should I take this,
yes,
and then we'll go to the city desk?
Oh.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, who's this?
Hi, it's Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Oh, is this about bras?
No.
Oh, well.
Did you hear the hopeful tone?
Well, never mind. What is this about?
This is about
About Mikhail Baryshnikov?
Yes.
All right.
He is living and well. He was on the last season of Sex and the City.
He's not dead, Tim.
Not dead, no.
I must be thinking of another dead Russian.
Gregory Hands is actually dead.
So he played Alexander Petrovsky?
Yeah.
Was that him?
All right, hold on.
That was him.
Who is dead, though?
Gregory Hines. He's dead. He just, like, died out of the blue. He was on Will and Grace for a season and then dropped dead.
Now we're talking about dead Russians.
Yes, I'm sorry. You have to call. Yes, today is dead Russians. Yes, dead black people is tomorrow. No, so Gregory Hines is dead?
Yeah, he's dead. Like, this talented dancer, amazing, you know, guy.
He just died of nothing?
Like, I don't know. I think maybe some bizarre cancer that just took him really quick, but I don't know what it was.
Cancer of the hair.
Yeah, just gone.
All right. Well, that's bizarre. Okay, and yet, Mikhail Baryshnikov, alive.
Alive and well, not aging so well, not as hot as he was during the whole life.
Well, he's Russian. Those people they disintegrate anyway.
Yeah,
they
do that. Because I live in Ridgefield, so yeah, there's a lot of them.
Even the best-looking Russian person is really only so good-looking. I mean, let's be honest.
By the time they're 16, they look like they're 80.
Seriously. They're all like the portrait of Dorian Gray. So, no, you go to Vancouver, Joni lives in this brand-new housing, this tract housing, this is a brand-new cul-de-sac or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And there's some deal that the church makes, where it's like, if you promise to pledge your life to Jesus, they'll, like, give you a house. Like, your big reward. Not only do you get reward in heaven, but you get a home in Vancouver.
And, are they Russian, or?
They're completely Russian.
Okay.
They're full-on, can't drive a car, hitting things when they go around the corner, don't know how to pay for anything at the supermarket, holding up the line because they can't work the goddamn ATM. Russian, yeah. Unhappy about everything. Look, as you know, every day they leave the house as if they got some bad gout. You know, it's just a whole bad thing. All right, Laura, thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
All right, there you go.
Thanks.
Well, we've slandered Russians. We've accused Mikhail Baryshnikov of being dead. There you go. We've slagged David Lee Roth. I think it's time to go, ladies and gentlemen, to your personal savior. At the city desk, please make way for Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Yeah, I had a Romanian cable guy the other day, and I reminded him that his people killed their president on Christmas Day.
Remember that?
In what context did you remind him of that?
You're so socially graceful.
I know.
Was that to punish him for something?
Well, he reminded...
Did he forget to give you, like, a color vision or something?
He looked just like the dead president I saw shot on TV on Christmas from that country. And I said, you look like the president
of Romania.
You made
the weirdest small talk.
And I said, is Romanian cable as good as this? Well, I was trying to make small talk, but obviously the answer was no to everything I asked.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
A suspected norovirus outbreak has been linked to a Benton County church. More than a dozen people have reported symptoms, including diarrhea and vomiting. They all belong to the North Albany Community Church. See where their God is now. It's highly contagious, and it's spread. It can be stopped with frequent and thorough hand washing. Also disinfect surfaces. Oh, they may be contaminated as well, so stay out of that church. Especially the pews.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
The producer of a TV show, The Maury Povich Show, has filed a $100 million sex harassment lawsuit against him and other members of his staff.
Oh, no, this is the first half of a two-for Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It is a two-for Tuesday. We have a two-for sexual harassment. This is the first half.
Well, they barraged her with sexual remarks and made her watch porno movies and expose her body.
Unless you have duct tape, how does one make someone else watch porno films?
I know. 28-year-old Bianca Nardi of New Jersey.
What's her first name?
Bianca.
She has it coming.
Mm-hmm, she does. Says in court papers that the sexually charged atmosphere among the show's production staff was fostered by the intimate and sexual relationship with defendants Maurice Richard Povich and Donna Benner Igbar.
Igbar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Court papers say Nardi had an unfair...
Nardi and Igbar. That's a Romanian detective show right there. That's exactly what that is.
Well, she had an unfairly heavy workload because she did tasks that was supposed to be done by Igbar, who apparently refused to do their work without penalty because of her relationship with Maury. The suit contains a list of sordid allegations.
Nardi, Maury, and Igbar.
Igbar, who was also named as a defendant many times in an intoxicated condition, telephoned Nardi's residence at all hours of the late evening to discuss her personal relationships with Povich and other men whom she was secretly seeing, and asked Nardi what staffers were saying about their relationship.
Yeah.
Through nearly 6 years, this went on for 6 years.
Yeah, it sounds like she was hating it. Yeah.
Nardi's court papers say Paul Fluhaber, the executive producer of the Maury Povich Show, ordered her to wear short skirts, low-cut blouses, and push-up bras.
The fantastic thing is we don't have to order the women here to do anything like that. They just do it of their own free will.
Fluhaber directed her to wear concealed cameras and microphones for undercover assignments, such as going into bars to secretly videotape married men agreeing to have sex with her.
This is the best office ever.
I know. This sounds like fun, doesn't it? Court papers say Fluhaber forced Nardi to run a gauntlet of sexually abusive and intimidating conduct, including posing in sexually explicit positions, exposing her breasts, and watching porn.
Okay.
The lawsuit asked for at least $100 million.
Yeah, whatever. Get a job, honey. All right. Here's the... Oh,
Part
come
two.
On. You give me 6 years. You know, your boss chases you around the desk and pinches your ass. You leave. 6 years.
Oh, she dealt with it for 6 years?
Six years. And wiring, including wiring her up with cameras and sending her to bars to sleep with married men.
She should consider herself lucky she held a job like this for 6 years.
I was going to say, you had a job in the television industry that lasted for 6 years. You just did cry me a river, sweet cheeks. All right, no, but that, and in just a second, speaking of sexual harassment, in just a second we'll talk to a female CBS radio employee about brassieres. But before that, listen now to the best sexual harassment story you are ever going to hear. Ever. I don't care where you work. Doesn't matter. You could work like at a Hooters run by Bob Packwood, and it's not going to be as good as this.
This comes from the FresnoBee.com. A former Fresno alarm system company saleswoman who was spanked by her supervisors while her coworkers watched and jeered wants money for her humiliation.
Oh, it gets better.
Alarm One Incorporated is a lawyer, say the spankings with a competitor's yard sign was done in fun to build camaraderie. This sounds like The Office, doesn't it? This sounds like the American version of The Office.
It really does.
Was done in fun to build camaraderie among the sales force.
So it's one of those like where you see the houses like this house protected by Alarm One.
Mm-hmm.
And so the deal is that they would make her grab her ankles and they would spank her with the competitor's yard sign.
Mm-hmm. There was no intent to hurt employees. Janet Orlando, who's 53, says she was so embarrassed by her three spankings, they're only three, that she quit her job as field supervisor in February 2003. She's now in the Fresno County Superior Court, alleging in trial discrimination, assault, battery, and infliction of emotional distress. Alarm One, which is based in Anaheim, has more than 300 employees who provide sales, installation, service, and alarm monitoring for thousands of families across the United States. Court records say the company's motivational practices began in the Hayward office, where sales teams competed with the winners poking fun at the losers. The conduct included throwing pies at the losers, feeding them baby food, making them wear diapers, and swatting their buttocks with a competitor's yard sign. There was no intent to hurt anyone.
What kind of office is
this? This was motivation sales addicts gone awry. According to Wagner, the salespeople who arrived late for a meeting or talked out of turn were subject to a spanking. The spankings were used to increase productivity from its workforce.
That's the best phrase ever. But spankings were used to increase productivity.
And in closing, during the spankings, the sales force hooted and shouted lewd comments such as, "Bend over, baby," and "You've been a bad girl."
good times. Oh, it's fantastic. They do that lame thing here of just fining you a dollar. I've got some suggestions.
The company says she was willing, ready, and excited about being there.
I love this country. All right.
They also said the spankings were done in the nature of fun. As anyone was participating in such a thing.
Welcome to the Eric Emerson Show. For the CBS Radio Portland Marketing Department, marketing guru Susan Reynolds. How are you, Susan?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, well, every day that I'm not being flogged by a superior while being fed baby food and told that I've been a nasty girl, is a day that I'm happy with.
Well, you sound like you're having a little too much fun.
Yes.
I want you to sign this paper before we discuss what we're about to discuss.
You called us, sister.
Yes, I'm aware.
All right.
It looks like, the great thing about the Internet is you can find out just anything you could possibly want to know.
Unless you're in China.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Well, and so often things that you didn't... We had this whole discussion yesterday about how... And I never thought about this. About how when the marketing department was coming up with domain names for all of the stations, it never occurred to me that there would be an issue with people typing in kink.com.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So
don't go there.
No. All right. So what did you locate for us?
Well, I was able to locate the fact that it looks like a bra could go up to size I.
I?
Yeah. And it, there's, of course, the double A, the A, B, C, blah, blah, D, D, triple D, F.
Now, is this sort of like a BCAD thing where the number, where it's like a triple A is smaller than an A?
I don't think it goes triple A. I think double A is the smallest you can get aside from the training.
I think after double A is like you're a man. That's like the next. That's
or,
the next.
Or like my 9-year-old, And then not okay. that we want to be discussing her. But,
no, please let's move
away
from that.
But it goes up to I. So if you can imagine, what a triple D might look like, then an F, G, H, and I.
Here, I can't. I really can't. I think the problem is that like all men. And like especially all men in the internet era, I am incapable of telling what any brassiere size is because every American man who grew up in the generation of readily accessible porn, I just think all women are a 38 double D because that's what it is in all porn films.
Well, I think if you look out on the Willamette River, let's say, on a very nice sunny summer day, and you see a sailboat out there, I think that's what the eye looks like.
Okay, that's if I were a lesser man, if I was a man of more common taste, this would be the genesis for a kooky radio bit, in which I did some sort of search to find something or other. But I think I'll just move away from that now.
Okay. Well, anyway, size I.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. She's not just a marketing machine; she is also a knower of all things bra oriented.
Well, and I have the internet right here, so.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Susan Reynolds from CBS Marketing. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Susan. 503-733-2970. All right, are we breaking here? We'll break. We'll come back. We have a few more stories to get to. Kurt Lloyd is going to be here from Super Atomic TV. We have Tim Riley at the City Desk. I never got to this geek test. We'll try to do that. And don't forget, all of our bumper music today coming off vinyl that I found, laying around the basement, in my house. You stay right there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We appreciate you coming by and making it part of your listening day. Like is coming up at 3, world famous Phil Henry Show at 7. We got more from the City Desk with Tim Riley coming up. Just a few will talk to Kurt Lloyd from Super Atomic TV. All right, now I'm getting nothing but bra email. This is Spies Like Us, by the way. Worst song ever by a mainstream recording artist. I think we've done that in the past. I think we did top five bad songs by a good artist. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's see. Rick, about Paula Abdul, the most recent rumor I heard was that she's about to announce that she has MS. That's from Kristen. Rick, crematoriums are good times. I walk by one every day. Also, Tim should do the news hour from a meat rendering plant. Let's see. What else do we have here? Bra size and Sarah. Rick, it's all worth it.
Why do you even read this?
It's just to see that look on your face. Just to see that sort of like, do I smell something foul look across your visage. Rick, please ask Sarah if her cup size has been getting bigger. As a side note, Thursday at Sabala's, Sarah looked noticeably more full and pleasing in the bosom.
Is that a nice way of saying I look fat?
I don't believe so. Notice that proper measurement does require knowing where all the sections of the breast are located. Oh. And then he has the whole thing where you measure with the... Okay. Should I take whoever this is?
Sure.
It's like you're suddenly like you're doing the arms across the chest thing now. I see Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Shannon.
Hi, Shannon. How can I help you today?
I'm calling about your bra thing.
Thank you.
I'm totally a big-chested woman, and I have to tell you, these are the worst invention on the face of the planet.
The bra? It's because, I mean, look, from a male perspective, I don't know, but it's, a woman told me that they're like the high-heeled shoes, where it just does seem like some medieval torture device.
Seriously, I can't believe that in today's day and age, they have not invented one that freaking works.
Well, because...
It costs less than $50.
Okay. The money is all... Look, the money is all in that kind of a thing, because it's like with swimsuits. It's like there is an inverse ratio between exactly how much fabric is involved and how much we can get you all to pay for it, right?
But we have to pay for it, because you can... And here's the other thing. You can walk around with these giant man boobs... Nowadays, there's a lot of man boobs out there.
Giant man boobs.
Why do they not have to cover them up? But if we were to walk downtown like that, we'd get arrested.
Shannon, you are preaching to the choir here. I have no, in no way do I disagree with you. I think it's a travesty. And I think you, Shannon, should be protesting that right now. By removing your shirt and walking. What celebrity would you say you most resemble?
Holy cow. You know, a lot of people tell me I look like a young Judy Garland.
I'm okay with that. People think Judy Garland and they just view her through that the Wizard of Oz. Judy Garland was an attractive woman.
She was gorgeous during before the drugs and the booze, but
for the drugs and the dying and the decomposing.
Exactly.
If you have a photograph of any part of your body, you should send that along to rick@rickemerson.com so that we can help you in your cause to liberate the bosoms of women from the tyranny. I'm not trying to be creepy. It's me. What can I say? All right.
Compiling like a listener, like a photo montage.
No, right? Here's the thing. The thing with women though and marketing to women is if you're out there, look, if you're a marketer, you want to make a little money, here's the key when selling stuff to women. Take something that's really, that should be big, make it real small, and then charge like 100 times the price for it. Well, you know, why get a backpack that actually holds something when you can get a backpack that looks like it's for a midget? And then you can wear it to a club with a glow stick.
Shoppers, so I'm not a typical female in that. I don't have like a million pairs of shoes. I love the clearance rack.
It's like the
damn bras. And you know what? You can't go any bigger than Double D. You can't find them. They don't even exist at like your typical Mervyn's and JCPenney's and all that stuff. You have to have them specially made.
Well, because at a certain point,
like hundreds of dollars.
At a certain point, that's like when you read about those people in where the guy hadn't been to work because he can't get out the door and they have to remove it and take it onto the forklift. At a certain point, don't they just have to? They have to take all the component parts of the bra into the house one at a time and just assemble it while you're there on the couch, I think.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like the hull of a ship in a giant shipyard. Yeah.
While you're getting some sort of intravenous liquid cheese feed or something given to you. So
nachos and chili coming in.
That's all right. Well, Shannon, thank you so much. And should you decide to liberate your bosoms from the tyranny of the patriarchy, you be sure to film it and let the Rick Emerson Show know about that.
I will definitely do that.
Thank
sir.
You, Shannon.
Have a good day.
All right, you as well. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 970.
Should we put the call out for Tim Riley?
Wait
for the delay to kick in. Tim, come in here.
I turn and the desk is just empty.
1,000.
Well, in the meantime, let's listen to some Starship.
There he is. Right on time.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, before we talk to Kurt Lloyd from Super Atomic TV, let's go to your personal savior at the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting breaking news out of Iowa. Sheriff's deputies in Henry County are stuck in the middle of a less than appetizing investigation. They're trying to find the person who has dumped bags of what appears to be human vomit in ditches in a 1.5-mile area northwest of the city of Mount Pleasant.
I gotta tell you, I was walking out of my office this morning and there was a girl vomiting on the carpet on the other side of the building. I walked out of my office, like to get something out of the copier. Like I'd printed something out. I walk out, and it's like there's a girl down on the literally on all fours on the carpet in the sales area this morning, hurling her breakfast onto
the.
No
way.
It's completely true. It's a vomit shine day.
Well, the bags ranging in size from white small white trash bags to large brown lawn bags have been found and only a couple of inches of substance in them. It's pretty weird. It's unusual for us. We haven't worked with anything like this before, said the investigators. A sample of one of the bags was taken to a private lab for analysis. We haven't found any DNA yet. There are no suspects in the case. We're just hoping that someone will come forward and admit to this.
My friend's roommate in college was bulimic. And she moved out. She lived in this house for like 6 months, and then she finally moved out, and they decided to trim the hedges around the outside of the house.
No,
they found literally hundreds of little baggies and Tupperware containers and clothing bags, everything full of vomit.
Storing the vomit for later?
Yeah, she was just saving the vomit outside of her window. Just threw it out the window.
In case the vomit museum calls later and they need exhibits.
Yeah.
Why would you not just use the toilet?
Well, it was her secret shame. She couldn't go into the bathroom and keep flushing the toilet.
Her secret shame.
I suppose.
Yeah, that was gross.
Okay.
I was there for the cleaning.
Okay. Let's, the great hosing. Let's, do one more here and then we'll...
UNLV researchers say the right type of advertising after last year's Chili Finger hoax may have kept the fast food chain from losing millions of dollars in sales. After a Las Vegas woman claims to have found a finger in a bowl of Wendy's chili she bought in San Jose, the restaurant offered a free frosty treat to its customers to help them forget. A study by UNLV and the University of California, Irvine, compared that approach with the traditional print campaign of a child eating Wendy's hamburgers and French fries. A survey of about 100 regular fast food customers had more favorable views of the emotional tug for the child and the burgers. The study called, Is That a Finger in My Chili?, has been featured in the Cornell Hospital and Restaurant Administration quarterly. This past January, Anna Ayala was sentenced to 9 years in prison for the chili finger hoax. Her husband, Jaime, who obtained the severed finger from an injured coworker, received a 12-year sentence.
I love anything that contains the phrase, her husband, Jaime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733.
You want some more?
No.
Okay.
No, I really don't. Maybe here in a short while.
All right. Well, I'll be back later.
503. I'm just going to take his secret shame elsewhere. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is a Rick Emerson show. By the way, in case you're tuning in and wondering if this is, in fact, the worst show ever, the answer is yes. Yes, that is the accurate conclusion for today. The engineers kind of keep walking in and out of here, and they keep poking and prodding things and pressing buttons and resetting things. And as the day goes on, you can see Sarah getting closer and closer to just having a nervous breakdown and openly weeping at the control board. It's a fantastic day all the way around. If you'd like to be part of it, you can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You can also call.
Don't call.
By the way, it's 503-733-2970. You know what we didn't talk about at all today is Cody J, who will be in Friday screening calls because we have to force feed him something.
Oh, yeah. We have to figure out what we're going to make, like a burrito pizza sandwich.
My whole thing is I'm trying to make the most caloric sandwich on earth that we can then force feed him, because I'm wondering exactly how many calories you can give a human before their body shuts down. And he doesn't really work here, so it's not like they can sue us. He's not he's not really a CBS employee or anything.
Maybe we should keep in mind the thankfulness you were feeling earlier that we didn't tase Kyle.
And then we'll spank him with a yard sign and shout, "You've been a naughty girl."
I'll do that.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Super Atomic TV, which you can't see anywhere. Kurt Lloyd joining us. Now, Kurt, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm proud to be part of the worst show ever.
I want to note that Kurt Lloyd is wearing sunglasses inside.
That's me.
For no readily apparent reason.
Oh, well, I would be blind.
Did you forget your other sunglasses?
I forgot my other sunglasses.
So you're not pulling a Riley when you hear that the cameras are going to be.
No, I'm pulling Corey Hart.
It's fantastic. Super Atomic TV. Okay, now let me just be bluntly honest about this. I had heard of Super Atomic TV, didn't know what it was, hadn't watched it, figured it was terrible.
I've heard of syphilis and never had it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because it's like it was on CNW 14.
Yes, sir.
Which is where Sarah and I.
And will be again.
Sarah and I hosted this poker show, which
did
was.
Did you catch that one?
I did catch that.
Oh, boy.
You were the most interested human being ever on television. I can't wait for this one to be over.
No, my favorite part was giving out the Jer Bears. Yeah.
Because let's be honest, most of the stuff, and CNW 14 is not cable access, but it is locally originating programming, and I think we can call a spade here.
Where can you find that anymore, by the way?
Well, and most locally originating television programming is terrible. It's excruciatingly bad. And so I hadn't seen the show. I'd heard about it. It had been on. And somebody's like, "Have you seen Super Atomic TV?" And I was just, get away with that. You kids, I'm busy working. And I just assumed it was awful. Show goes away. Our show goes off the air. I came back. And then Nate, we have a friend in common, Nate Baker. Comcast drops me an email. "You got to talk to this guy, Kurt, Super Atomic TV." I'm all Super Atomic, Schmooper, Shmomic, you know, whatever. I go to your website or to the MySpace, because you guys got a MySpace thing going on.
That's right, because we're too lazy for.
And I watch it, and it's fantastic. It really is good, and I'm not getting paid to. This is not the. I mean, I guess it is pimping, but I'm not being paid to pimp. It is a great show.
Thank you.
So, for people, so the gist of Super Atomic TV is it is old, like public service films from like the 50s.
Classroom films, hygiene films, yeah, old PSAs, old Atomic Scare films, Red Menace movies. And the old vintage sci-fi.
It's fantastic. And you probably get this comparison all the time. But if you ever saw any of the shorts that Mystery Science Theater did, where it was like, how to go on a date.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. It was like a 5 or 10 minute black and white short with a lot of really white people named like Tom and Jane. And it was a whole lot of, "Well, Jane, I sure would like to ask you to the 4-H Expo this weekend, but golly, I'm nervous." You know, and it was, "Tom didn't know how to ask Jane out on a date. Now he will learn." You know, and it was that whole thing. And so this is sort of like one of those old horror shows in L.A. where it's like you would have the host late night show in the old B-films, but this is with public classroom films.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. Actually, I've been forced to change the format a bit and remove the host, but that content still remains. Actually, there's more of it now.
Was there some unpleasantness?
No, it's all about money.
Oh, okay.
Man, you...
You want more for yourself?
So you've been doing radio for how long?
18... night? God damn. God damn, I'm old. 19 years.
All right. Now, I started in radio when I was 15. I'll be 38 in August, and I left
after
deregulation.
Oh, yeah.
But we've been on the production end of it. Now, what if somebody said, come along, you get to create your own show, you get to do the Rick Emerson Show, I will give you an outlet for it, but you have to go sell all the ads.
Yeah, that where I tried that
Would there
that
be
once.
Any money to do your show? Yeah, no. So that's,
we,
that's
we did
the
have
spot
that
we're
brilliant
in.
Idea.
We tried that idea for like a day, yeah. And then it just...
That's the spot we're in, so we had to trim back a little bit.
All right. You had to do some streamlining?
I had to do some downsizing.
Were you some belt tightening here?
There was an axe that flew around the room, and whoever got hit, they were gone.
This is Bob Slidell. He's going to be figuring out some streamlining. So you brought some, so just the audio from this.
Yeah, these things are a riot. You, if you yank them out, you yank them a little out of context, they're funny. But a lot of these you can just pull straight.
So now, you brought a whole bunch of data. This is just the audio from these classroom films. And
I hope it plays, because otherwise we're just going to stare at each other for 20 minutes.
Well,
we have the geek quiz.
There's backup.
There's that, and I've always got more music from Paul McCartney and White Lion we can play. And then there will come the inevitable moment when Sarah asks us to make out. So, which one of these should I start with?
I never listen to the end of the show, so now I gotta
more of a happy ending.
How about track 6? We'll start with a big bang.
Track 6 is that this one here?
Yes, that's
all right. So this is audio from one of the films shown on Super Atomic TV.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Then during lunch, Ralph showed him some pornographic pictures. Jimmy knew he shouldn't be interested, but well, he was curious. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick. A sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious. A sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual. But by now, Jimmy felt a fondness for Ralph, and they continued to go places together. Ralph was generous and took Jimmy many interesting places and did many nice things for him. He bought presents and even gave him money. But payments were expected in return. You see, Jimmy hadn't recognized Ralph's approach soon enough. When Ralph first asked Jimmy to go fishing alone, he should have discussed it with his parents or teacher. Finally, Jimmy told his parents, and they reported it to the juvenile authorities. Ralph was arrested, and Jimmy was released on probation in the custody of his parents.
What did Jimmy do
what
wrong?
What the hell did Jimmy do?
Yeah,
I never did
fishing.
Get that.
Jimmy's just trying to, this guy's giving him crap.
That's a movie from 1958 called Boys Beware. That's something they would show at like JC's meetings when they would gather young men together or at church groups.
That's fantastic.
The dangers of the homosexual.
And I actually saw part of the video for that because it's on you. It's on your MySpace.
Go to myspace.com/SATV.
Yeah.
And you'll find links to all those clips.
Let's see. What else should we play? What's the next one?
This is my favorite. And I think this is the one that's going to make Sarah squirm, which I'm really happy to do. It would be the next one.
Which is cut 7, this
cut
one?
Cut 7, yeah.
All right. And, all right, here we go. This is the next cut from...
Yes, Molly?
Miss Jensen, is it true that people can tell when you're menstruating?
No, it isn't. But you should be more careful than ever about personal cleanliness and daintiness. Change your underwear more often and be sure and use a deodorant. And pay more attention to your hair and your nails, and plan to wear your prettiest dress. In other words, be your most attractive self. Yes, Anne?
Miss Jensen, what about dancing? Can you when you're menstruating?
Yes, you can, with moderation. In fact, you can do most of the things you usually do. You can bathe or shower as long as you use warm water. And you can wash your hair if you're sure to dry it quickly. And you can swim if you wait until after 2 or 3 days after the beginning of your period. And you can go to dances and picnics. But it's not a very good idea to skate or ride horseback or play fast games like volleyball and basketball
or
do strenuous dancing like square dancing.
That's fantastic. So your body's done expelling a demon. That's where do you, if you would give it away, where do you get these films?
I have a private collection. I started out collecting antique books.
That's
and,
not like a Paul Rubens private collection.
No, actually, I've got another one of those.
Okay.
That one's going in the Library of Congress.
I was going to say, that's
well
where you pull the book out of the case and the door slides back.
Right. Right. No, I have a private collection. I have collectors send me things all the time because they seek out people who do this kind of thing, and they throw things at them because they just want these things exposed. And then there's a brilliant guy by the name of Rick Prelinger, who started a private collection and has amassed hundreds and hundreds of these movies. And was so thorough in his collection that the Library of Congress bought his collection.
Really?
And then kept him on to host it, and he has digitized it and put some of it online.
These are fantastic. We're talking to Kurt Lloyd from Super Atomic TV, which comes back. You guys are going to be back
June,
on the...
June 3rd. Saturday night, June 3rd.
Oh, for the love of...
And you yell at me for leaving my phone.
I'm in a management position.
That's the best ringtone ever.
Hold on. Hi, this is Rick. Hi. I'm actually kind of in the middle of something right now. Can you call me back later? Like in about an hour. Okay, thank you. All right, there you go. Yeah, that's a whole lot of, my wife and I received what might charitably be called a large tax bill, this season. And there's some unpleasantness.
Still working on mine from last year.
All right, okay. So Super Atomic TV is going to be back on the air when?
We'll be back on June 3rd. Until then, there's a ton of web clips up. There will be more coming every week. We're going to concentrate on those. We are working on a series of DVDs, which I brought you and Sarah and Tim.
Fantastic.
Just a little skeletal breakdown of a bunch of old stripper reels.
Excellent.
Used to make Kiwanis meetings.
Well, let's do one more, and then we'll take a break here. We're talking to Kurt Lloyd from Super Atomic TV. What is this next
to
cover?
Let's go to the absolute final track. Okay. This is an old conservative film about the dangers of pornography from, I'd say, 1959.
Okay, fantastic.
Through this material, today's youth can be stimulated to sexual activity for which he has no legitimate outlet. He is even enticed to enter the world of homosexuals, lesbians, sadists, masochists, and other sex deviants. The psychiatric terms for these unnatural sex acts are unknown to most decent adults in our country. But through this salacious material, these abnormalities are corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Perversion for profit.
That's fantastic. And again, having seen a couple of these, you got to picture like the appropriate, terrible Eisenhower era, scratchy black and white
the
images.
Whole theme of the show is that mid-century Cold War duck and cover sci-fi.
And just be afraid of everything. Everything was dirty and was going to kill or defile you or make you glow.
It is strangely appropriate to our time today. Yeah. Watch it and you'll be frightened.
We're talking with Kurt Lloyd from Super Atomic TV. It's SATV.com?
The website is superatomictv.com, all one big long word, or myspace.com/SATV, either one. You can find all these things.
All right, we'll come back. We'll play some more of these. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Don't forget, all of our bumper music today is coming off of vinyl. It was all just crap that I found laying around my basement because we have no computer systems operated. The smooth sounds of Starship on Johnson 970. Oh, damn it. I used to know how to hit the post on this song. I think this is some radio edit. You know this song, of course. You don't know this song?
What song is it?
Okay, we got to wait now. Now we can't break away.
We're running out of time.
Doesn't matter. We're going to wait. We're all bobbing in unison. With fire and ice. Fire and ice, which at the Catholic school, they tried to tell me was some perverse sexual act. Wait for it. Sarah, oh, Sarah. All right, back after this, Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall, and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call, telling me I need a girl who's as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I see I need love. There I was.
All music today coming off crap I found lurking in the corner of my basement.
I'm not saying no names. Then the thought occurred.
Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're here with Kurt Lloyd from Super Atomic TV. The website is superatomictv.com or myspace.com/SATV. Look at me. Yeah, dude, it's a steal
on the ball
here. I'm talking about. All right, so you guys have got a new show coming back. I know you said this earlier, but it was in June, something like that?
TV show comes back Saturday night, June 3rd. The web videos are up and more all the time.
And
you can shop, you can
you really should
us.
Go
give
check
us
this out at MySpace. Go to the MySpace page at myspace.com/SATV and check this stuff out. It is fantastic.
Thanks.
It's hilarious. So you, as a special treat, you brought one to me that is, because I'm from Kennewick and the in the shadow of the Hanford nuclear plant.
I just took my mini vacation there for the last 4 days and
yes.
Watched your people golf. Checked out the reactor.
Sitting around watching your thyroid grow.
1957, there was a television station in Kennewick, GE,
yes.
The government contractor.
All right, so this is about the joy of the friendly atom.
This is from Hanford Science Forum. Makes you feel safe.
All right, let's see here. Oh, of course, I guess it would help if...
Hold on. I guess it would help if the PC was actually turned up. All right.
Or is it? Okay, and... Well, that's fantastic. It's actually not going to actually play as that. Sheriff, the PC turned up?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, I've got nothing. Well, it's just fantastic.
You know, you've got only 2 minutes left of the show.
Seriously, I can't figure out why it's not playing.
Probably me.
We're fantastic.
You know what? That just means you'll have me back.
Today, it's just nothing but one thing going flawlessly right after another.
Oh.
Yes?
It looks like we might have something back.
All right. Well, so this is where, like, in your head, you should mentally insert the sound of something hilarious coming off the PC. I have no explanation for why this suddenly tanked on us.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's playing over here. It's playing right now. I'm looking at it. Yeah, I got nothing. Oh, wait. I guess, okay, here we go. That'll be
the fishing rod we have here, isn't it? And we usually think of fishing as purely sport. But at the Hanford Atomic Products Operation in Richland, Washington, on the bank of the Columbia, we do a type of fishing that Isaac Walt would never have dreamed of. This work is done by the Aquatic Biology Operation, which is headed up by Dr. Richard F. Foster. We have Dr. Foster with us now, and I'd like to introduce him. He's manager of the Atomic Products, or the Aquatic Biology Operation. How do you do, Dr. Foster?
Hello, Frank.
I'd like to ask you a blunt and point-blank question to begin with. If it's unfair, just say so.
It's a softball.
What is the work of your Aquatic Biology Operation?
Well, this is really quite simple, Frank. Aquatic biology has to do with the study of life in the water. And here at Hanford, the largest body of water which we have is the Columbia River. And so our work is mainly with the life in the Columbia. I expect your next question may be as to why should we at Hanford study life in the Columbia River?
Not my next question.
The answer to this is also quite simple. We have a unique kind of effluent from the Hanford reactors. Water from the Columbia River first goes through the reactors in order to cool them. It is then returned to the Columbia River. Some of the minerals which are present in Columbia River water become mildly radioactive.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we would like to know when this material gets into the Columbia River, whether any of these mildly radioactive materials are picked up by the aquatic life, and if so, where it becomes deposited.
So enjoy salmon season.
That's fantastic. You told me that there was one, you had some film where it was with Hugh Beaumont?
Yeah,
Beaver?
I've got a government film, Hugh Beaumont, the Ward Cleaver,
yeah.
Talking about the... supposed dangers of radiation. He said if you don't leave your mouth open or you don't have any open sores, radiation will just bounce off you and you'll be fine.
It's fantastic. Well, you've really, as you could say, you've like picked the single worst day in the history of this program to come here today. But we'll have to have you back because we'd want to hear more of these. These are fantastic.
I got a ton, man. I'm happy to come back.
Kurt Lloyd, the website is superatomictv.com or myspace.com/SATV, and it comes
June
back
3rd.
To television June 3rd on CNW 14. All right, we want to thank CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, and Susan Reynolds from CBS Market, who came up to talk about breasts. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. Everything you've heard today is because of her. News director Kim Riley.
Oh, thanks.
Well, like us up next. Phil Hendry Show at 7. We'll see you in 21 hours. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow, my friends. Goodbye.